So if you've got your Bibles, do you want to open them up or turn them on, depending on the context? And Exodus chapter 15. And this little passage I want to read is immediately after the children of Israel have escaped Egypt. They've come across the Red Sea, this immense provision of God where the waters are parted. They cross over on dry land. And then, of course, the Egyptian army who are pursuing them are all drowned behind them. And it picks it up here in verse 22 of chapter 15 of Exodus. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days, they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. And he said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palms. And they camped there near the water. Verse 26, the Lord says, "I am the Lord who heals you." Jehovah Rapha, one of the compound names of God. There are a number of names like that, aren't there? Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. Jehovah Jireh, provider. Jehovah Nisai, banner. Rophi, shepherd. Yeah, so there's a whole load we could go into. And some wonderful names that we could tap into. But this is the Lord who heals you. Literally, if you look at the Hebrew, apparently it means to make healthful. To make healthful. Or another way to look at it is to heal or restore. The condition of being restored to how it should be. I don't know if there's anybody in here this morning who's got some health issues that you wish they could be restored to how they should be. Well, there's a few of you nodding this morning. Huh? Okay. Well, this could be the morning for you to lay hold of God's promises from his word. But this little passage in Exodus 15 is really, I think, a wonderful picture of the Christian life and emerging into the Christian life. So you come, the children of Israel come out of Egypt. Of course, Egypt is a type of sin, is representative of sin in Scripture. So they come out of that and they're saved from that. They enter through, they're saved from the clutches of slavery, from Pharaoh. And the bondage, you know, if we think of ourselves, we are saved from our sin. And how many of us know we're saved from the clutches of sin as well? And that might take a little bit of a journey sometimes, yeah, of in our history. But God's into breaking chains and bondage over our lives. They emerge and go through the Red Sea. You know, when those children of Israel went through the Red Sea, I don't know how they felt. I don't know how you and I would feel. Wall of water by the side. Oh no, that was earlier, wasn't it? The wall of water was earlier. And this is where the water stopped, actually. This is a whole different ballgame. But actually, I think there was a real sense of they're all in. They're all in it. This is it. This is our opportunity. How long this water is going to be retained from flooding us? You know, we've got over 1 million people, the people who study this suggest, are walking across what should have been a flood scene. And now they're putting their life in God's hands and we're saying we're all in. How many of you, when you gave your life to Jesus, said, "I'm putting my life in your hands, Lord, and I'm all in. I'm not messing about with this. This is what I mean." And one of the key markers, I think, for us in our Christian lives is taking steps of obedience with God, isn't it? And a step of obedience, like water baptism. Saying, "Lord, we are all in this for you. This is a public declaration of my faith, and I'm all in this life for you." And over the next few weeks, we're hoping to plan a water baptismal service. So if you've not been baptized in water, we'd love you to come and have a chat with us, and we're going to pull that together. But then how many of us know as well that you become a Christian, and it's a wonderful thing, it's a marvelous thing, you know that your destiny is secure, it's assured, but actually it's not all trouble-free. Or is it just me? There are issues, there are problems that come, there are difficulties, and here the children of Israel, now they're free from slavery, the pursuing army has been killed, and they come to this place where they find some water, and they're ready for the water. But when they try to drink it, they can't. There's a bit of a problem. Bitterness in the water. There are going to be problems. But actually, what did it cause them to do? Well, it caused them to moan. Well, that's probably not a good idea. But actually, it caused Moses to call out to God and to cry out to him and say, Lord, what are we going to do? Our eyes are on you. And he said, see that bit of wood over there? Chuck it in the water. Strange thing to do. But the water becomes drinkable. And so God has a way of helping us through the challenges that we're going to face in our Christian life. You give your life to Christ, it's not, that's it. He says, you're on your own, I'll see you in heaven. God is Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there for you. And then we see God's provision. God brings them to this place called Elim, where they find 12 springs of water. What does water speak to us in our Christian faith? The Spirit of God. I believe God wants us to live in the fullness of his provision. Receive his Spirit. Be filled with his Spirit. Be transformed by his Spirit. It's a wonderful thing that God has for us. And then finally, you know, around that water, there are 70 palm trees. All of a sudden, there's fruitfulness in what was a desert place. God wants to bring fruitfulness in and through your life and my life. Yeah? It's a wonderful picture. We could spend a lot of time thinking about that. But when God said, I am the Lord your healer, I believe he meant it not just for our physical bodies, but for our whole selves. Mind, spirit, body, the whole deal. Listen to what Paul the Apostle says in 1 Thessalonians 5. And I'll read from the Message version. It says, may God himself make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. God wants to deal with the whole deal, the whole of our lives. The one who called you, he goes on to say, is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. God's a God of his word. He wants to bring healing into your life and my life. God wants to bring healing with regards to our spirits. God's intention, I believe that we, as we looked at those, steps of coming out of sin and slavery and into emerging into the goodness of God, I believe God wants us to experience and understand his heart in that, and he wants to bring us to that place of fruitfulness. There's incredible desires for us. You know, he's a good, good father. We've just been singing it. You know, and Liz was absolutely right. If we get a grasp of that, it will change our hearts, change our thinking. It transforms who we think we are, an understanding of who we think we are. Which of your fathers, Jesus said, if your son asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's an incredible God of love. A few years ago, Tim Harrod? Oh, he's gone out. Oh, Shelley's here. Hi, Shelley. Tim wrote a little article after he became a dad. And I looked it up. It's about 3 years ago, I reckon, Shelley, is that right? Is Joshy about three? Yeah, yeah. And so he wrote this. He said, looking at young Josh lying in his cot, a couple of days old, blown away by the whole experience of becoming a dad. It was then I felt God speak to me. He wanted me to know that no matter how much we love our wives, husbands, sons, daughters, or any of our family, he loves us more. What a great revelation. He loves us more. Thank God for loving families that many of us are blessed with. But he loves us more. Just turn to somebody and say, he loves you more. Just give him a nudge. He loves you more. He wants us to be spirit-filled, fruitful, and healthy in spirit. You know, if you're struggling with life, the good news is God, Jehovah Rapha, is the God who heals. He wants to bring healing into your spirit, very inner man, inner woman. God wants to bring healing to your soul, that we may know, I believe, emotional, I've got to put it this way, emotional health. That our minds know the healing of God upon them. Interesting, great to hear Shirley's testimony a couple of weeks ago, wherever she is. Over there, great. The whole thing about celebrate recovery. You know, because we can give our lives to Christ, but yet sometimes there's all sorts of things going on in our minds that we need to understand that God wants to bring some healing in. Somebody once said, I don't know who it was, but whoever controls your mind controls you. We become, I think the Bible would say, we become what's in our hearts. And often when you read the word about heart, it's what we're thinking. So for example, Proverbs 23, authorized version, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And how we are in our hearts shows up on occasions, doesn't it? I often say it's not always how we act, but it's how we react. Because how we act, we can think about, it's premeditated, but how we react, it automatically comes out of us. You know, how's your heart? How's your thinking? Paul wrote to the Roman church in Romans 12, and he said this, "Do not copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." That's from the New Living Translation. "Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect, because he's a good, good father." It doesn't actually say that in Romans 12, but I just added that on. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. If your mind has got some wrong thinking in it, the good news is God, Jehovah Rapha, wants to bring healing into your mind. I was praying with somebody, a couple of us were praying with somebody just a few weeks ago. And as we were praying, I just felt to encourage them to do something that I prayed would be helpful to them. And maybe it would be helpful to some people here today. You remember in the Old Testament, Daniel, he got challenged for praying to his God three times a day. Morning, midday, and evening. Ended up in the lion's den for it. But I just felt to say to this person, I really think it would be great and really good if you, and we'll provide you with some scriptures to think about. We'll provide you some scriptures to think about, and I want you to think about them for the next few weeks. Every morning when you wake up, same scriptures in the middle of the day, and same scriptures in the evening before you go to bed. Because I believe it will help change your thinking about who you are. About who you are and what God's done for you. God wants to bring healing to our minds. I believe God wants to bring healing, physical healing, to our bodies as well. As we often think about when we talk about healing. Great testimony, obviously, from Ian Maris and Sharon recently. You know, those four tumours gone completely now. They're having struggled to find any remnants of anything on x-rays. It's a phenomenal story. You know, when the consultants say, "I've been doing this for 30 years and I ain't never seen anything like this." Yeah, something's going on. The truth is this. 1 Peter chapter 2. Jesus personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and alive for what's right. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Fantastic. And then he says, but by his wounds, you're healed. You're healed. How many of you are glad that your sins are forgiven? How many of you are glad that actually there's provision of healing as well? Jesus came to bring physical healing to our bodies. And while he was on earth, it says this, Matthew 9, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. That's a bit all-encompassing. Every. If you need physical healing today, or you know somebody who needs it, maybe in your family, Hebrews 13:8 tells us this, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He really is. The provisions of God's word that are almost 2,000 years old in writing are still available to us today. And if you've got an illness, physical problem, good news is Jehovah Rapha, our God, wants to heal you. That's a provision of his word. So spirit, soul, and body, wholeness through Christ who brings healing. Psalm 103 says this. How many of you believe what the psalmist says when he writes this? He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. As I said a few moments ago, you know, we've been celebrating this week Her Majesty the Queen's 90th birthday. And some great pictures of the Queen on walkabout the other day, was it Thursday? And then also reflecting that throughout her reign has been this guy still alongside her who's 95. Incredible, isn't it? I saw some pictures on the news of them both stood in the back of an open-top Range Rover, holding on as the driver's driving down the road, and they're all doing this. You know, 90 and 95. Some of you would struggle now. But by the end of today, it could be a whole lot better. So that was 2016. And then, of course, 1947, they got married. What's that, 69 years ago? Is that right? Is that my maths right? Yeah, almost 70 years. Wow. And on their wedding day, they had a hymn. It's a hymn written by Henry Francis Light. You'll recognize it. It's Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. And one of the lines in it is, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like him? His praise should we bring? Praise him, praise him. You know, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. What an incredible truth to have declared at Her Majesty, while she was Princess Elizabeth still then. But what an incredible truth to be declared at her wedding day. It's an incredible truth that's absolutely right for each one of us. As we know Jesus, we are ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. And I think the writer of the hymn got it from Psalm 103. And I'm going to put it on screen, sir, if you'll do that, from verse 3 to 5. And I want us to read this out aloud, but where all the dots are, I want us to stop and pause and just think about the line we've just read. Okay. So let's do that. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and compassion. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, somebody say amen. Amen. What incredible truth. And again, if we can get hold of that. We've been singing some incredible truth this morning. We've been reading it and declaring it. Hey, this is our God. He's a good, good Father. Yeah. And we're loved by him. That's who we are. Wow. Sometimes we can, you know, put a few blockages in the way of God's provision, can't we? And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but just some things to watch out for. If you go back to Exodus 15, which is where we started, you know, when it comes to escaping Egypt and finding after 3 days they've got no water, there was a bit of grumbling. Hey, guys, don't grumble. It's not good. All right? God don't like it. I haven't got time to go into that. And then there's this whole thing about unbelief. You know, will God really provide? How's this going to work out? And then they come to this place, you know, Marah is an interesting name that was given to that water because it means bitterness. You know, the water was bitter, but, you know, when you start grumbling and mumbling and unbelief and unforgiveness, you know, unforgiveness leads to bitterness, doesn't it? So easily. And we were hearing a little bit from Kelly, was it last week or so? It was really a great story, testimony of God helping us through that whole challenge. And so what does provide, you know, let me just ask you a question. Ask yourself this. Does my attitude promote health or sickness? What are some things that might promote a healthy body and mind? Well, forgiveness. And there's a saying we're hearing from Kelly just the other week. I've told this story before. I remember a few years ago, I was in Pakistan. I think it's the same year that Jackie went. We were on a team together. It was about 7 or 8 of us. And we were sort of split up to do various evening events. And I was in this place called, it was called University, but it wasn't. It was just an area of Peshawar in Northwest Frontier Province. And it was outside, it was in the dark, and there was a stage area, and there was a single light bulb above the lectern. And there was a little band playing behind. And so he got up to preach, and there's one light bulb. Where did all the bugs get attracted to as I was speaking? So it's a real nightmare of a job. Anyway, at the end of it, we invited people, you know, anybody for prayer. We had this one lady came out, and through the translator, she said she got pains in every joint of her body, struggling to walk, struggling to move, struggling to pick things up, really in a lot of agony. And we started to pray, and as we started to pray, I just really sensed God prompt me to ask her a question about unforgiveness in her life. And through the translator, I asked her, was there any unforgiveness in her life? At that moment, she broke down in tears. And after a few moments, the translator found out what the issue was. And apparently, she'd run away from her hometown and her family because there was a huge argument and a huge problem. And the only way she could see of dealing with this was running away from it. And as we prayed for her and encouraged her, she found the strength, a bit like Kelly was saying last week, to forgive these family members who'd hurt her. I can't remember all of the details now. But as she did that, her countenance changed. And all of a sudden, she was up and she was moving. And then she was smiling. And then she was crying. And it's like, wow. Just the release in her life because she'd come to a place where she could forgive. It was so powerful. You know, forgive. It's interesting that in that Psalm 103 that we just read, he forgives all my sins, heals all my diseases. But if you lift that with the words of Jesus in the New Testament, in Matthew, he says, you know, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But then he says, if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. Let's not have any blockages in our lives to God's provision. So, forgiveness. I think thankfulness is another key thing. You know, we reflected on that on some of the songs that we sang earlier. But Paul says to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Do not be anxious. I think somebody read this out earlier, didn't they? Yeah, Hugh. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You know, if we can keep thankful, as we've been hearing earlier today, then I believe it opens the door for God's provision to be released more and more among us. And let's have the musicians back. I'll bring this to a close. You know, I think obedience is another one. It's being obedient to God's word back in Exodus 15. If you carefully listen to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands, keep his decrees, I'll not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on Egypt. For I am the Lord who heals you. I think sometimes we miss out on God's blessing on our lives and provision because we sometimes don't even do the simple things. Now, earlier when I said, how many of you would like a bit more restoration in terms of health in your bodies, there was a lot of nodding and going, Let me tell you what the Bible says. And this is in the New Testament. And this is James chapter 5. And he says, is any among you ill? Let them call for the elders of the church to pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Sometimes just a little step of obedience and asking leaders to pray for you, to anoint you with oil, can really salvage of God's provision into our life. And there's another one, a final one that I want to just suggest. And again, Hugh referred to it earlier about the leaders' conference we were at, and Pete and Alex last week commented on it as well. The last thing I want to say is connectedness, being connected in the body of Christ. One of the speakers, a guy called Dan Backens, I haven't got time to go into his story, but found himself in a place where he couldn't even pray for himself. And this is a leader of a church of 5,000 people. And things were so difficult, things were so challenging, his health-wise situations with his family, that he couldn't even pray for himself. And he made this comment, he said, and I came to the conclusion, I needed to go public. Let people know, let the church know. Would you pray for me? And the church began to pray. Thank you. And he likened it to Peter when he's imprisoned in the New Testament in Acts. It's recorded in Acts chapter 12. It says, Peter was in prison, but the church prayed. Don't live in isolation. Let others know. Let others stand alongside you, a bit like Aaron and Hur in the Old Testament holding up the arms of Moses when he couldn't hold them up any longer. I haven't got time to go into that story, but it's in Exodus 17 if you want to look it up. Forgiveness, thankfulness, obedience, connectedness helps us to receive and be recipients of God's blessing and provision. Is there anybody here who wants to fully experience the truth of Psalm 103? Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and compassion. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Maybe the people here today who have never come into this life in Christ. And you say, actually, I just need to break free of the past. Ask God for his forgiveness. Allow him to redeem me, the Bible calls it, to buy you. By the blood of Jesus Christ, he paid the price for your sin and mine. Nobody exempt from that. But each one of us. If that's you this morning, I'd love you to pray. So why don't we just bow our heads in prayer for a moment? Let's just pray. If you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, you've never asked him to forgive you of sin, to come into your life, to make you a brand new person, where the old is gone and the new has come, then this is your moment, right here, right now. Why don't you pray a very simple prayer and use these words that I'm going to pray. Ask God to come. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on the cross for me, that my sins might be forgiven, And I ask you now to take my sin. Remove it, Lord, that it might be completely gone and the influence of it over my life. Father, I receive your forgiveness today. And I invite you to come into my life to help transform me into the person you want me to be, to live in the incredible provision and goodness of your love over my life. I ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.